Moncrief on News Talk.
All of us, or most of us, would like to have an Oireachtas that's more representative of our population as a whole. There are gender quotas, though we still have a way to go on that. But there are many other groups in our society who are barely represented or not represented at all. Dr. Vivian Rath from Trinity College was part of a group which looked at the difficulties people with disabilities face when trying to enter politics. Vivian, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean, and thank you for having me on. And can I just add, I was listening with interest to what colour suits me. And I think classic navy and white, you just can't beat it.
Okay, fair enough. It's a nice neutral colour, and it probably, you know, most people, it would suit most people, white, I would think. So as things stand now, in the Oireachtas as a whole, in terms of elected representatives, we have Nikki Bradley as a person with a disability. Do we have anyone else?
Yes, we have Martin Conway as well, of course, has a disability. But overall, the number of those who have identified as having a disability that we know of is quite low, or very low. And so we undertook this research to find out, to learn about the experiences of disabled candidates running in the local and EU elections. And that we specifically focused on disabled candidates with intersectional identities.
By which you mean they were disabled and a traveller or
yes,
that kind
that's
of thing.
Right. So people may identify as having different identities. So for instance, as you said, a woman who is disabled, who may be from the travelling community. And so participants, we had seven disabled candidates who identified as having intersectional identities. And what's, I think, very important to note straight away, only two of those candidates were elected and one of those was an incumbent. And all of the seven candidates reported facing barriers over and above the usual challenges of getting elected.
Okay, so if you could, Vivian, if you could run us through some of those barriers.
Absolutely, yeah. So I might note as well, and I think this is really important and fits in with your original point, is that in the last census, 22% of the population identified as having one or more impairments. That's over 1 million people, Sean, who potentially don't see themselves represented in our local councils or EU Parliament. The majority of disability is acquired as we get older. So from that perspective, it is really important that we have greater representation. But the barriers included a range of systemic barriers, for instance. So including barriers related to inaccessibility of the built environment, lack of information or information in accessible formats, difficulties communicating. So, you know, using the same old formats of communication, negative attitudes, fear of violence, insufficient financial resources to run a campaign, and a lack of support more generally.
Vivian, fear of violence. Was it particularly people with disabilities who had this fear of violence? Now, there was an air of that in the last general election in general.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's important to point that out. And we have increasing levels of hate crime as well, of course, towards those with different identities. But in the terms of this, our participants noted their fear of violence and abuse on the doorstep. One candidate described being shouted at aggressively at the door and not being able to get away. That particular candidate had a mobility difficulty. So it was difficult enough perhaps to get to the doorstep because it may be inaccessible, may have been inaccessible. But then the difficulty was when you had that person shouting and roaring abuse at you, that you couldn't get away from the doorstep quickly.
Yes.
Just think of the fear and of that, and just put yourself in that person's shoes for a moment.
And people, and it seems as if you discovered there's a particular difficulty for people who have hearing issues or are deaf.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, Sean, we didn't have a candidate in our research that identified as being deaf or hard of hearing. But we are aware of anecdotally of candidates who perhaps for instance, it would need the support of a sign language interpreter, and they have to take on that extra cost themselves. So that is an example, perhaps, of the extra costs that disabled candidates might have to bear whilst out canvassing. There are other examples, though, as well. We had, in our research, we had candidates with intersectional identities who identified, say, for instance, that they had extra transport costs. And so, for instance, due to the inaccessibility of our built environment, it made going from door to door even more difficult. And so they would often have to use their some form of transport to get back and forward. They also used say, for instance, their car as a safety zone, somewhere where they could get to safely and get away. And they also discussed how they used, say, for instance, their car in the situation where they had to take extra medicines or specific types of foods. And you see, and I think this is where the complexity of it develops. So if we take, for instance, a disabled person who has generally got extra costs, that's known as the cost of disability. In the case, that could be extra heating costs or other medicines costs. But in this case, they would have extra costs whilst engaging in canvassing and electoral activity. And so those costs for the disabled person who has an identity, perhaps as a, we'll just take it in this case, in our research, a woman, a female, that who has children, and they will then also have the extra layer of extra childcare costs. And when that all adds up, it results in being quite a significant costly barrier to running for election.
Mm. And for a person with a disability, and the disability is obvious, were they facing a situation where they can then seen as a single issue candidate?
Yeah, that was really interesting, because I just need to take a step back here in terms of our discussion, because many of the candidates identified that they didn't necessarily run on disability related issues, which I'm sure your audience will find quite interesting. But the reality is that disabled people are people like everybody else in the community. They're not a homogenous group. They have different beliefs. They have different ideas. They have different identities in terms of where they would place the priority. And so what we found was that the candidates were often entering on maybe issues related to the environment or education. But one interesting thing which was noted as well was that, say, disabled people who did run on a disability agenda, they found that their canvassers, who may have had disabilities and supporters, they found that they weren't able to maybe access the environment because of the inaccessibility. So they were immediately disadvantaged when it came to canvassing, because they didn't have that big group of people that you would expect to have for canvassing purposes.
Vivian, they seem to, as I understand it anyway, now obviously many of the things you've outlined there, more aid would be welcome there. But they didn't seem to agree when it came to things like quotas.
Yeah, that was particularly interesting. And that's not unusual. I mean, it's probably representative of the wider society as well. There's not full agreement, perhaps, on quotas. But what was important, we do acknowledge that quotas have, and as a tool, have the potential to increase the diversity of our candidates and our senators, local politicians, etc. But in this situation, if we were to introduce something like that, it would have to be well thought out and considered, because sometimes a solution that is identified for all disadvantages some. And so if we look at it from this perspective, right, we see that if we introduce the quota and all the candidates that came into that quota, disabled people, were all white males, well, then it doesn't actually increase the diversity. So we'd have to take a certain intersectional access to it and really sit down and fix or identify the nuances of it.
Vivian, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Vivian Rath there, a research fellow at the Trinity Centre for People with Intellectual Disabilities at TCD.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.